Lord's table, technically referred to as the Eucharist, which means thanksgiving, is one of two rituals ordained by Christ for believers to engage in the church age dispensation. The other ritual, as most of us know, is water baptism. That was ordained in the Great Commission, meaning the book of Matthew, as he proclaimed to his disciples to go out in the world and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The ritual of the Eucharist, he said, is to be done on a repetitive basis. He told the disciples when he ordained it on the night of his betrayal, the night before the day of his crucifixion, he told them to keep on doing this in remembrance of me. So obviously the thanksgiving is designed for the believer that's engaging in the ritual. To concentrate on the person of Jesus Christ in thankfulness as their object of appreciation of what God has provided for the individual, and that, as we know through the symbolism, with respect to salvation. The one thing that qualifies an individual to engage in this ritual is indeed that they are believers. You don't have to be a member of a church or any other organization. But you do need to be a believer. Otherwise, it is a ritual without reality. So, obviously, a believer comes in, and the ritual, which is indeed simply symbolic, it's not efficacious, it doesn't save you. It's designed to be, if you will, a witness to others around it that's participating in the same way in regards to their faith in Jesus Christ in that respect. Now, while that qualifies us to engage in the ritual, obviously the ritual in and of itself and what we are to be thankful for is regards to Jesus Christ's work on the cross based on the elements and the actions that are involved in the ritual. And his work on the cross is victory over the power of sin over mankind. And that means experientially for the believer then that they have, through grace, the capabilities of isolating the sin nature, being in fellowship and in a state of spirituality in their life. So the other aspect in regards to your involvement and participating in the ritual is to make sure that when you partake of the elements, you make sure you're in fellowship. You rebound as necessary in that regards. Paul makes that very clear. If you judge the body rightly, as he told the Corinthians, you will not be judged. And the body is where the sin nature resides, is inherent, it's part of our DNA. And because certain Corinthians were involved in various types of sins, etc., he made it very clear because they were involved in doing this ritual out of fellowship and running under sin nature in this regard. Many of them were sick, and God even checked some people out due to the nature of their sin nature and the degree of sin that they were involved in that respect. So you need to be a believer. You need to be in fellowship to truly reflect and witness the appropriateness in regards to what this ritual symbolically is all about. Now, as we know, there are two elements and two actions that are part of the ritual. The elements are the bread and the cup. They reflect the person of Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. The actions are eating and drinking. That pictures the individual's faith in his person and his accomplishment on the cross in regards to their so great salvation in that respect. So we'll take each of the elements, we'll address the element, we'll think about it, articulate the doctrine in regards to it, then we'll partake of that element, symbolically showing our faith in the person of Christ, necessary for life, just as eating and drinking food, beverage, etc., in life is necessary for physical life, so it is in the spiritual world in regards to Jesus Christ's work on the cross. It's our custom to retain the bread until all have been served. The bread symbolizes the person of Jesus Christ with emphasis on his humanity. Christ is unique in that he is both God and man, a unique person of all creation, including unique from God. He was both true humanity and true deity. He was the true manna that came out of heaven that God sent to take care of the sin issue in regards to the world. So the emphasis on his humanity looks at the fact that it is his humanity that is going to be the object and target of sacrifice in regard to taking care of the sin issue. Now, the bread that we have here is unique in two fashions. First and foremost, it is without leaven. Leaven in the Bible often symbolizes sin. So, this pictures the fact that Jesus Christ's humanity was without sin. He was sinless. It began through the virgin birth, where he came into the world and he was minus a sin nature. So therefore, he did not undergo spiritual death as the rest of humanity does through the normal act of procreation and birth. He maintained that status quo of sinlessness throughout the entirety of his life and his ministry. The unleavened portion looks at the preparation of Jesus Christ and his humanity to be the sacrificial lamb, just as the bread is prepared unleavened, so his humanity is prepared as being sinless in this respect. The second aspect of bread is that it is broken. That looks at the fact that it is in his humanity that the sins of mankind would be judged in his body in this respect. It's ironic that even though the bread is broken, in Jesus' humanity, not a single bone in his body personally was broken throughout the crucifixion ordeal, including being crucified. This reflects the fact of his unleavened nature, his sinless nature. There was no personal divine discipline directed ever towards Jesus Christ. It's all on us. But either way, he took and he paid the penalty physically, the pain and suffering, and indeed his body received such turmoil from God's wrath in his body, judging sins, that physically he was almost essentially unrecognizable to those around him if they had not known indeed that he was a person on the cross otherwise in that respect. So this is the symbolism of the bread and our thankfulness in regards to what has been prepared for us and given for us for our own eternal life in this respect. And on the same night that he was betrayed, he broke the bread. And having given thanks, he said, "This is my body which is given for you. Take, eat in remembrance of me." Father, again, we thank you for our so great salvation. We ask you to continue to bless us in our thinking, concentration, and thankfulness of Jesus Christ in this vein. In Jesus' name, amen. It's our custom to retain the cup until all have been served. While a cup symbolizes, with emphasis on the physical nature of Jesus Christ and his work on the cross, the cup symbolizes and emphasizes the spiritual nature of his work on the cross. The cup, which the grape or wine that is made from the grape juice that fills the cup, often in the scripture symbolizes God's wrath. This obviously points then to Christ judging Jesus on the cross for sins in that respect. It's also symbolic of Christ's blood. Christ's blood is further in and of itself symbolic. It is not his literal blood that saves, as many of the fundamentalists will hold to that erroneous perception in regards to Jesus. His whole ordeal on the cross was previously symbolized in regards to animal sacrifice. To sacrifice the animal, the priest would cut the animal's carotid artery and let him bleed out. And the Bible makes it very clear that the life source of an animal is in its blood. The life source of a human is not in his blood. It's in their spiritual mechanism and being. And for Jesus Christ, his spiritual life source was his human spirit and the spiritual realm. While the soul gives a physical body life, it is simply life in the realm of spiritual death. It is the human spirit that then gives both the soul and the body life on an eternal basis in relationship with God. So what is symbolized in regards to the cup is that Jesus Christ went to the cross at 9 in the morning. He was on the cross for 6 hours, for the first 3 hours from 9 to noon. All that he endured, pain and suffering, the rigors of crucifixion, was placed upon him by man. None of this did anything. It was just part of his normal fulfillment of his ministry at the sufferings of men otherwise. It was not until the earth turned dark at noon The imputation of man's sins into his body commenced, and God's judgment in his body commenced in said fashion, in like fashion. That lasted for 3 hours, from noon to 3 p.m. He cried out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? To note the initiation or the occurrence of sin bearing. It is finished. What is finished is the sin bearing in and of that cell. In and of itself, the aspect spiritually that occurred in regards to Jesus and what truly was broken, albeit his body was battered and bruised beyond recognition almost in that regard, was his fellowship with God during this time. What Christ gave up in those 3 hours was his life source of eternal life, his human spirit. He died spiritually. That's the way it works. That's the mechanics. Sin causes spiritual death. And he was accounted for sin of mankind in this regards, as men's sins were imputed to him. And for those 3 hours, fellowship with the Father, with deity, was broken in regards to his humanity. His humanity was there alone, taking on sin-bearing, if you will, in that regards. When all that was finished, God returned his human spirit. His human spirit was the value of righteousness, absolute righteousness, that which the human spirit represents and is real. In regards to this, it was given to God to redeem us from our sins, to purchase us from the slave market of sins. After the sin bearing was completed, his human spirit was returned back to his person, because indeed he still personally in his soul was innocent. And therefore, God was free to return his human spirit back to him as no more sin was being reckoned to his person otherwise in that regards. And as we know, Jesus tapped into his deity and he checked his humanity out. And he physically then died. And he was not in the grave. He was in the grave no less... not as long as 72 hours, less than 72 hours. And at that point in time, he is the first individual ever to receive a resurrection body as validation by God himself, by the Father, that he was successful in his work on the cross. The reality has occurred. It's just a matter, again, as it always has been in history, but for us, looking back in history, of our eternal life, coming through faith in his person otherwise in this respect. And likewise, after they had eaten, he took the cup, and having given thanks, said, "This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Drink from it, all of you." Father, we ask you, can you bless us as we focus in regards to overruling our sin nature, staying in fellowship, fulfilling your will for our life, and in such way glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ even more so for all eternity, albeit he gets all the glory for our salvation otherwise in this respect. Bring us back to the next Bible class safe and sound. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.